episode 583 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Anna, Lindsay, and Donna. This week, we're here to help you turn your travel dreams into real, achievable plans for the new year. If January feels like a tug of war between motivation and the urge to stay cozy, you're not alone. We're talking travel resolutions that are way easier to keep than hitting the gym four times a week. And way more fun, too. So let's get started.
Oh, yes. Way more fun.
Yeah.
I'm just going to warn you right now that my allergies are acting up. So if I sneeze suddenly, I apologize to everyone listening.
It's okay.
I'm trying to fight it.
Cool. So travel resolutions. What are you thinking?
Yes. Well, I want to say that this podcast is actually inspired by the newsletter that is coming out the same week as this podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast early enough in the week, if you go to our website and click at the top where it says get a list of 50 books to satisfy your wanderlust, or go to the bottom and click on join our email list, then you should get the newsletter this week too, and you'll get them from now on. So if you like the content in this podcast, please feel free to subscribe to our newsletter. Why travel resolutions? Well, isn't that what we do in January?
Duh. I mean, a lot of people do because it gets busy.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's important that you're intentional with your travel plans too. You know, a lot of people sort of say, oh, I'll think about that later. And then you sort of end up having to make all sorts of compromises in your, in your travel. So it seems like if you really want to travel, it's good to go ahead and you don't only have to resolve to travel, you can actually plan the travel so that you don't have to stress about it later. It's not like planning a trip to the gym where you can wake up that morning and go, eh, never mind. If you plan it, then, and you start paying for it and you have your tickets, it's way easier to just get up and go.
Mm-hmm. So resolution number one, I like this one. No more last minute major trips. Why would you ever do that?
And, you know, it's so funny how many people do it again and again. I think we all have a story about a client who was like, I really wanted to go to Ireland this year and it's November. So I think I want to go in December now. And it's like, first of all, you don't want to go to Ireland in December. And second, you can't, like, that's not a last, although you might be able to get some good deals to Ireland in December. So that might be a bad example. Maybe I want to take a cruise for spring break and it's March 1st.
I've actually been getting stuff like that already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, stuff's filling up. It's really hard to do the last minute stuff now because everything's filling up so quickly. But so you're right. You end up having to compromise. So instead of getting that, beachfront, that glorious beachfront room, you're getting the garden view at the back of the property,
Or like you're having to get the suite because that's the last one left and it's $10,000 a night.
Exactly. We actually were just going through this in the office yesterday or the day before. Client wanted an all-inclusive for spring break and she has a large family and it's, multiple rooms, or they would have to be in like the presidential suite, and like the best deal we could find for her was at a resort that isn't all that great for $30,000. And, if that's your budget, we could put you in a much nicer place than that if you give us more time. So, I mean, we literally said, don't do this. This is not a good idea. Let's try to find some other solution for you. Yeah. Because it's just not, their inventory is limited and other people do want to travel, especially if you're wanting to do things when you can maximize your time off or when your kids are off school. You got to plan it early.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, and I like that you noted here that spontaneity still has its place, but save it for the smaller getaways. I think that's a really good compromise.
And I guess my first example with Ireland, it's like if you want to go to Ireland in February and it's January, we could probably make that happen. I mean, you know, it's off it's way off season for Ireland. So there probably are some good deals to be had. If you want to stay at a specific place, that might not be possible, like a certain castle hotel or whatever, that might not be possible. But if you just wanted to go and, you know, and go to a concert or something, and so you want to expand that trip a little bit, that's something that we might be able to do. But yeah, the weekend getaways are more, you know, go down to Myrtle Beach for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, I do that all the time. All right. So resolution number two, use your PTO like it's meant to be, is stop hoarding your vacation days. Oh my gosh. I am so all about this.
Yes.
Because so many people just don't use it. It's crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Or they waste it and don't use it properly.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, where my husband works, he's like salaried, and they changed everything a few years ago to permissive leave. You can take as much as you feel like you need, which really means like,
don't take.
Do you
much
really
at all.
Think you need that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like he noticed this past year that people he was working with before he was salaried were up to like 8 weeks vacation, and I guarantee you he did not take 8 weeks vacation this year. And there's nothing to pay out, you know, like there's no rolling over, nothing. It's like, if you have that benefit, use that benefit.
Yeah. That's, my husband's rolls over. He's a municipality. So his rolls over every year.
Well,
so
but not all
has,
of
it. No, I don't
no,
think all of it.
No, you can only roll over
lot.
Usually a week or two.
Mm-hmm. He has so much time. It's ridiculous between vacation and sick. And
how do you let that happen, Anna? I would think you could make him use all that time.
I know. We're working on it. Working on it.
My husband has the same problem because he's got so much. And then he also carries over like a week or two. And he struggles to use it all. So one of the things he started doing a couple of years ago was taking like Fridays off every Friday for like the last 4 months of the year. And so he had a 3-day weekend every single weekend.
I like that.
And so
it's good for a spontaneous trip.
Well, you have that one day where, you know, that you can do the yard work and all that kind of stuff, but then you still have, you know, 2 days to, you know, take off on a trip or just do nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, and so we're talking about people who have lots of vacation time because, you know, there are places where the longer you've been there, the more time you may have awarded to you, like Sandy was saying, 8 weeks. But what about the people who don't have a lot of vacation time, but then actually start still hoarding their vacation? There's some ways that we could suggest that you use that vacation time to maximize it. Now, I will say that there's some drawbacks in that all of these are tied to things like holidays and you know, special events where you can get more days off because you already have a holiday to take off. So it can mean that the destinations are a little bit more crowded. But Sandy, you want to give a couple of examples?
Yeah, and it could also mean that you have to compete with other people you work with for that time. So that's another reason
that's
to
true.
Plan it early. Yeah. Yeah, so like one of the examples we have here is to take off like President's Day. That's a Monday. Take the Friday before and then the rest of the week after that Monday. So that's 5 days, but you have 9 days off. So in a row. So that's a good use of, you know, doing a longer trip or just take the 4 days of that week and then you could do both weekends on either side. Mm-hmm. So things like that, you know.
But then a good something to think about with that is that's not the time to maybe go to a theme park or to go skiing because that's President's Day. And so everybody's off and those places seem more crowded. So that might be a good time to go to an all-inclusive or to on a cruise because then you have a fixed amount of people that you're dealing with in that situation and you can really enjoy that time. Whereas at a theme park or at the ski lifts, you're going to be shoulder to shoulder with 1 million of your closest friends.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah.
Especially in prime ski season. Oh, and you're on top of that, you're also paying weekend holiday rates. So your ski pass during the week might be, you know, $60, $75, $100. And then on that weekend, it's going to be $150, $200.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And even during the week that week, because that Monday is a holiday, you may see that the rates are higher during that time. Maybe not even for the pass if you have like an Epic Pass or whatever, but for the ski rentals, things like that. You want to plan. You can use those holidays, but again, use them wisely and don't do things that are either not as capacity controlled as you're comfortable with or are extremely popular with other people who have holidays at the same time. One great thing to do that over President's Day is to go to Europe or go to Asia or go somewhere.
Going to Europe for 4th of July.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah. I was just going to say, this is a perfect opportunity for you to check off a destination that isn't on everybody else's bucket list. To kind of maybe do a little exploration and discover those quieter parts of more popular destinations. Like there's a whole lot more to Italy than the three cities that everybody goes to. But this is a great time for you to really be adventurous. And then in return, your gift to yourself is that you might end up with a much less crowded experience and a more authentic experience than you would going with the flow, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good point.
And Thanksgiving's another one where you can get a whole 9 days in there, and that is plenty of time to go further. You don't have to look for a long weekend destination. You can really go somewhere for 9 days. And again, if you're going outside of the United States, that place may not celebrate that holiday. Thanksgiving is a good example. President's Day is another good example. It's colder, so you have to choose wisely, but that doesn't mean that you can't find a place to go at that time.
Yeah.
One thing to note on the holiday thing is just because we aren't celebrating a holiday, or we're celebrating a holiday here, or even when we're not celebrating a holiday, it doesn't mean that they're not celebrating a holiday where you are going, because there are a lot of destinations. There are 300 days on the calendar where
there is a some holiday. Some places take a lot of vacation for the holiday time.
I ended up being in Galway for the first time on a bank holiday, and nothing was open. And I was only there for that day. Yeah.
We were in Rome on May Day, and I needed a pharmacy.
Well, we were in Austria on May 15th, which is Annunciation Day, and the bells were going off everywhere, every 15 minutes, and everything was closed except for the gas stations.
Oh no.
Nice.
Snacks.
Even the snack, I mean, you could get snacks, but you could not, the bakeries were closed, the banks were closed, all the businesses were closed, so we did a road trip that day.
Yes.
Yes, all right. Next resolution, do not rely on AI. AI is like the big thing that we've been hearing about for like the last year, but it can steer you wrong. You have to double check what it tells you. And we have some really good examples of like people looking up like a nice relaxing thing to do if you have poor mobility and then it's sending you on a strenuous hike, or sending you to things that are closed, and things like that. So,
or they have never existed. Because I've seen that.
Or telling you that you can do three things in one day very easily when, in fact, doing one of those things will probably kill you. You just can't rely. It is a good place to start. It might give you some inspiration, but you can't expect that your trip will look exactly like whatever AI spits out.
I think sometimes when people think of AI, I mean, there's a lot of great uses for it, but they forget that it's pulling from every written thing that's out there. So that includes fiction and speculation, or what if they had this or what if they had that. And I've seen so many scenarios where someone, I used AI to build my travel itinerary and it sent me to a town that doesn't exist, or sent me to a mom and pop shop that closed up during COVID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is that saying? The internet's for looking, travel agents are for booking.
Yeah.
So go in and look and get some inspiration, and then you call us and you say, hey, this is what I want.
Well, Lindsay's appealing to my librarian too, because this is my librarian brain, because this is the big thing in libraries too. People are like, well, I read it on the internet. Oh, did you? Well, I can go on the internet and create a website today that says a whole bunch of stuff that isn't right. Right.
Wikipedia is crowdsourced. Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
We were looking for a place to eat last night, and Google told us to go to a place that hasn't been open for like 10 years. I mean, had hours listed and everything. So, I mean, this is not anybody can put any, there's like entire graveyards of websites on the internet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We had
that's not to say that we as human beings and travel advisors don't make mistakes. I mean, we could be wrong about a place being open or closed, but we have a lot more opportunity to check those facts than you might have just in a general Google search. So I don't want to pretend like we're perfect, because we are not, but we're pretty close. We're pretty awesome.
I can honestly say that 99% of my knowledge comes from my own personal mistakes. So
yes. I believe Lindsay was the one who coined the phrase here on this podcast. We travel poorly, so you do not have to. And we say that a lot when we're traveling. I can attest. Every one of us has done it. So
True. All right. Mm-hmm. Build in breathing room. Why slow travel is the new luxury. So I've had to learn this over the years. I used to really, really pile my itineraries full, and
it can be so easy to do, especially when we're planners. I mean, I just remember back to that first big trip I took with my husband, where I had literally a 3-ring binder, and it was full of every single minute of every day for 3 weeks, overscheduled, and I was like a drill sergeant. And how I came home from that vacation feeling like, wow, I just need another vacation. And ultimately, that's not the goal. That's not where you want to be.
Well, and I think that having that slower time and downtime on your trips allows for discovering things that are, you know, just for an example, Robin and I were in Venice last April, and we had some downtime, and we literally just walked Venice. We got lost, like just venturing all those canals, and we stumbled across the greatest little restaurant. I think it had like maybe 6 or 8 tables in it. It was this little tiny, but the food was phenomenal. I got the biggest Negroni I have ever been served before. It was like, you can't see my hands because we're, you know, you can't see us, but it was massive. But it was just during our slower time, our downtime, and we had the best time. Found a great little market. It was so fun.
I was just going to say, isn't that like, we never want to advocate for getting lost, but really it is like the best part of my every trip I take is when I allow myself the ability to wander down a street that I have, you know, safely, no business being down. Yes. And put that caveat in there so we don't get...
Yeah.
Well, and to be fair, Venice is a pretty easy city to get lost in. That's what our tour guide actually told us. She said, go venture and get lost. So we followed instructions, and we did. And it was great.
Yeah, it's that city. You can't say, well, just put the water on your right, because the water is all around you. And it is. But I think there is a difference, too, between getting lost, like you were trying to go somewhere and you couldn't find it, versus getting lost like you're wandering. That's a totally different kind of lost. And again, as long as you're being safe, you're right. That can be the best way to find hidden gems and little things you weren't expecting. And I think as curious people, our tendency is to overplan, because we're like, oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do that, because it all sounds so interesting. And so you do sort of have to pull back and sometimes and say, okay, well, what is it that's really the most important to me to do? And honestly, even like, we just got off of a family cruise, and my youngest did quite a bit of hiking in the, you know, on the islands that we were, the Caribbean islands that we were on. And he was taking naps every day, because those hikes, it was hot and they were steep hills. And so even my 19-year-old athletic son needed to rest, or else he would have just collapsed. So
can we tease him about it?
What?
Can we tease him about it?
No, don't. Because I don't want him to start not taking care of himself, because he would. He'd be like, rah, rah, rah.
It took me a long time to realize that I am a human being with normal physical needs like sleep and rest. And to not, it's so easy when you're excited and you're passionate about this as a trip that you saved and planned for. And you know, you've just dreamed of your whole life and you just want to hit the ground and go, 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 go. But personally, I try and make it now that I have a rest day, not only on the day that I arrive, but also the day before I leave. Because I think we all forget how strenuous that
packing.
Yeah, that travel, the packing. And you are, yeah. you know, how, like, think about how I always forget, like, how stressful it is for me to pack before I leave. And then I just think it's just going to be easy to throw all my stuff in. But mm-hmm. it never works that way. It's always just as stressful, and sometimes even more so if you happen to buy
because it doesn't fit.
You have to run out and buy another suitcase.
It might not be. Yeah, you might have to buy another suitcase or go to the post office, or you know. But slow travel also allows you more opportunity to connect. That's where I was going. Sorry, I'm all over the place, but. Squirrel. Slow travel allows you more time to connect authentically with people in the destination that you're visiting. I can't tell you how many amazing travel memories I have from sitting in a coffee shop and meeting somebody on my solo trips, or meeting someone at the airport and not feeling that rush to, oh, I got to go. I don't have time to connect with this human being. And you oftentimes will find your inspiration for your next trip, or your even something they might have a piece of knowledge that you didn't know that adds a little value to the trip you're on, or you might have information for them. It's just a great way to connect with other human beings and by having that free time.
For sure. And that is part of why we travel. You know, I think I will go back to my theme park example, because I say this all the time, you know, even if this is your once in a lifetime trip to Walt Disney World, do not try to do everything.
Yeah.
You will be miserable. It is physically impossible. There are people who stay there for 2 weeks and still can't do everything.
There are people who live there and will never get
out of the game. Exactly. So that's how some of us can go back two or three times a year and still find it interesting. And that, to me, that is part of the reason I actually still enjoy the theme parks, is because I don't want to see everything in every visit. I can literally just go to a park for one day and wander around and maybe ride two things and feel satisfied. I'm not saying that if this is your once in a lifetime trip, you need to go that slow, but understand that some of the magic of these places is not getting to the next place. It is the journey from one place to another and paying attention to that. And that just comes into mindfulness and being intentional and, you know, all those things that we talk about now, that all we do is look at our phones. You know, that if you can get your head up and look around and not just worry about how you're going to get to the next place, that's going to be where you find the joy in your vacation.
Mm-hmm. And if you allow yourself time to live like a local, what I've found personally by forcing myself to slow down, I have found other things that I've implemented in my life when I come home, like my love of sauna now from Finland. I take away a souvenir that's so much more meaningful to my own mental health and my own physical health from every destination I go to, and I allow myself that free time to kind of explore, to find that tea or that, you know, that recipe that I want to come home and learn how to make, or that different approach to wellness than we have here in the U.S. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so a bonus resolution here is to let a professional handle the logistics for you. So why would we suggest that you do that?
You know, honestly, at the number of times that I've said I need a better travel agent, I mean, I really do feel like if I can come up with a good way for us to plan each other's trips so that we can have better experiences.
I'm 100% on board for that.
I know. It's just
a gift when you can turn your brain off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also even my family suffers from it, because obviously the last thing I do is work on my own stuff, right? Because I'm a woman and that's how we do things. And my husband several times has, you know, I'm going to say shaken me. He hasn't actually physically touched me, but he's sort of been like, I'm your client too. You know, we need the correct confirmation numbers in our app and we need all this. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. Well, I'm with you. So I know what I'm doing. And it, you know, it's not fair to them. So I have tried to be better, but I definitely feel like 2026, and this is probably a good segue to the next section, 2026 is the year that I'm going to have other people plan my trips. Okay. I'm so done. I love planning trips, but I'm not very good at doing my own.
Well, we always put ours last, you know? Yeah. And
yes.
We put ourselves, I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, I've landed in countries I've never been to before and realized that I didn't have a hotel for the first night for myself. Like you, oh yeah, and it's nothing for me to book it right then and there. But boy, wouldn't that have been nice after getting off that long flight to just know exactly where I was going or have that transfer set up. So it is definitely. I'm on board, Elizabeth. I'll pay somebody else to mine this year.
Yep, it just would make my life so much easier. And so therefore, if it would make my life easier, then it would definitely make your life easier. You know, if you have not used a travel professional, I hope that this is the year that you decide to give one a try, whether it's one of us or someone else that you know who's a travel advisor. I think that it can be a truly, you could still get all the joy of planning a vacation without the hassle of planning a vacation.
And you get the good planning. Mm-hmm. This is what I think people, they automatically panic and think that we're going to steal the 90% of the enjoyment of a trip, 90% or something like that is in the planning stages. Mm-hmm. We're not taking the research. In fact, we're adding to your toolbox of research. We are a tool for you to utilize, and we have access to tools that you might not even know exist and most of the time don't even know exist. And you can focus on the fun part of planning, which I think is like reading the books and watching the Anthony Bourdain episodes or the Samantha Brown or Rick Steves, if that's your thing, or finding the literature that was written about that area, listening to the podcast, immersing yourself in the music. And, you know, that's the fun part of planning.
We do the dirty work.
We do the logistics. And that is not, at the end of the day, the fun part.
Right. Well, I equate it to going to a nice restaurant. You know, you're not going to say, I would like the shrimp and I would like for you to cook it at this heat on this kind of pan with these ingredients. You're like, no, bring me some delicious shrimp and I'm going to enjoy those. It's that same sort of thing. You choose sort of what you want and then we make it like palatable,
you trust the kitchen to pick the right pan and to cook it at the correct temperature. And then you just get the end result of
You're not asking the chef what kind of knife he's using.
Right, exactly. Or what type of garlic or, you know, which brand of butter or, it's like you just want some really delicious shrimp and you're hoping that and trusting that they can provide that for you. And that's what we do. So you would say, I want the, and it's not just, I want to go to Australia. It's like, when I go to Australia, I want to hold a koala bear. Great. I will take care of making that happen for you. You don't have to do all the research to figure out the best place to hold a koala bear.
Yeah.
You know, that's just.
Or even if you're allowed to hold a koala bear.
Or even if you're allowed to. Or like, what do you need to know about their very sharp claws before you hold a koala bear? Or before you really try to pet the hippopotamus, Sandy, maybe I can give you some advice.
Like, hug a hippo. Yeah.
Yes.
No hugging hippos.
They will kill you.
That's right.
You say that.
I have a video. It's not appropriate to describe what's in the video, but I need to send it to Sandy. It's about how hippos mark their territory.
Oh. I know what you're talking about. They wag their tail, right?
They wag their tail. That's right. That's the best way to put that.
And moving on.
Quick tips for keeping your travel resolutions. And I think these are kind of universal to any resolutions, really. But I'll go first. Start with one trip and build the momentum from there. So this is the year you're going to do it. You're going to go to that place, you know?
Well, and that was the thing for me. I have been dreaming about visiting China since 1992. And this last October, I finally went. And it was everything I thought it would be. So make that plan. Even if it's 2, 3, 4 years in advance, start saving, start planning, start doing figure out what you want to do when you're there and make it happen.
And a lot of those obstacles and hurdles people have between them and their bucket list trip can be solved by time and saving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so much less stressful if you can afford to pay for the trip that you want and not have to settle for the trip you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the only thing that motivates me to actually plan my own trips far, far in advance, because I, mm-hmm. if I could, I would be, I'd go anywhere with anybody. I would go somewhere tomorrow. So, sure, yeah. But yeah, knowing the quality of the trip that I can have in a month versus in a year is I think something that people often forget about. Yeah. It's important to do it. It's important to make it a point that you are going to do it and you're going to do it. But it's also important to allow yourself a way to do it without compromising what it is you're mm-hmm. actually going there to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's nothing sadder than getting to go to some place you've always dreamed of and, oh, I didn't know about this, or, oh, mm-hmm. can't quite afford this, or going to have to come back.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many people have, you know, contacted me and said, hey, I want to do this. And it's fairly close, you know, maybe like 2 or 3 months, you know, maybe even 4 months down the road. And, you know, we talk and we put together quotes and everything. And it's just not attainable, you know, to come up with that kind of money. So, yeah, definitely mm-hmm. plan ahead. And it's totally, it's doable.
Mm-hmm. Or the experience you want is sold out, because a lot of these things book up, mm-hmm. especially when you're talking about once in a lifetime. I mean, we're looking 2 years in advance, 3 years in advance sometimes for some experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. I think it's good to share your goals too with friends, because that keeps you accountable. Say it out loud mm-hmm. or put it a mm-hmm. note up on your desk.
One of those smart goals.
Yeah.
And one of the cool things about saying it out loud, you're not only keeping yourself accountable, but you're also maybe sparking that, I've always wanted to go there too. Uh-huh. And you're connecting with your friends in a different, completely different way.
Yep. So what you're saying is, make sure you only say it to people you would like to travel with. Just in case
quiet otherwise. Don't inspire the wrong people.
Yes.
To invite themselves on your vacation.
So let's do a quick roundtable to wrap up. Is there anything that you guys want to declare your intention for this year, for your travel? And I'm going to go in order of what you guys are on my screen. So Lindsay. You're in the hot seat.
So I, in the past, have been very good at I like to have like a touchstone or a memento. I'm ADHD brain, so I like to have a physical reminder of my trips. And when I you can trace it. When I first started traveling, it's always tchotchkes and stuff. And then it moved to like food and you know, like seasonings and chocolate and gifts and things that tea and stuff. But now I have like cupboards full of all that stuff, and I've gifted so much of it to everyone. I should have opened a chocolate store or a coffee store. So this year and going forward, and actually I kind of started this last year, one of the big things I'm bringing home from my trip is the passion to do other things. So like learn a recipe. So I've taken cooking classes and done things like that, but art, like I'm reading books that were inspired by the trip I was just on with Donna. You know, I brought home a love of something new, and I still bought some stuff and I still did some things. But for me personally, I think it's in practical gifts. Like I brought nail clippers in Japan, and I will not tell you how many people that I've sold these nail clippers to, because they're made by the company that used to make the samurai swords. Okay. They're the best nail clippers in the world. Things like that. Things that every time I touch those, it's just a mundane thing. But every time I touch it, I think of that trip. Every time if I can make this recipe, it's never going to be like it was when I had it. But it's something that I can do. And it lessens that sadness of, I forget the word that they say when your mouth is sad. Because you can't taste something or want to make your mouth happy. But it lessens that a little bit to try it on your own. And then it just keeps that trip alive. Like all the pre-planning and the pre-build-up. And then, you know, while you're on it and then afterwards, it keeps those things alive. So that's what I'm going to do.
All right. Elizabeth.
I think I already said mine. I'm going to use a travel advisor to plan one of my trips. Most of my trips are already planned, so I don't know which one that will be, but I am absolutely going to use a travel advisor, I think, at some point. Other than that, my travel is perfect.
Preach. All right, Donna, do you have any travel resolutions for this year?
Well, actually this year, because that China trip was really a big deal, and I mm-hmm. did everything exactly I wanted to do, and I spent a lot of money. So actually this year I'm going to stick a little closer to home. And
recover. Work on, let your wallet recover.
Let my wallet recover. Yes. But my plan for 2027, I am either going to do a Mekong cruise, river cruise, or I'm going to do an African safari. And so, of course, in paying off the debts, but also saving for a big bucket list trip for 27.
It's perfect.
Doing nice. Yeah, planning in advance. All right, Anna, how about you?
Nice. So mine this year, I don't have a whole lot on the books for this year, but that will change. That's totally going to change.
It will,
working on it. But I wanted to incorporate a little more training into my trips this year, like trips that are like on site where I can go and explore new destinations, but I want to learn at the same time. So I'm kind of looking for some things that I can incorporate both, where I can experience product, the destination, but also learn. So that's kind of like my priority is trying to do some of that this year.
Do you mean learn like for your business? So you
yes, send people? Yes, okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Cool. All right. So I'll go last. Mine is that I'm doing a trip this spring to the Lake District in the UK. And my friend that I'm going with, I know is going to make me hike. So I am going to be prepared to be hiking. So I don't want to get there and just start walking 20,000 steps a day. I'm going to be prepared physically for my super crazy friend who wants to do all
I feel like this
hikes.
Is the perfect revenge for the old Sandy that you can drag us all over the place.
I'm loving this new Sandy.
This is karma, I believe.
It's just
classic.
Not as easy for me as it was back then, and I missed
it. Well, it wasn't easy for me back then, but you still made me do it.
Well, now I'll be able to make you do it again.
I think
we'll be going in July. I'll be like, "Come on, Elizabeth, start doing it now."
Yes, we're running around Austin.
All righty. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Anna, Lindsay, Elizabeth, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. God bless.